From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh, back from a little midwinter vacation. We've got a special treat for you this week. One of the most talented house, prog, and trance producers to come out of the fertile scene in Sweden is John Dahlbeck. Still in his mid-20s, Dahlbeck has been releasing chart-topping hits for nearly a decade, founding multiple labels and pairing up with some of the biggest names in the biz. Tool Room Records, a major force in the industry, has been with Dahlbeck since the beginning and recently tapped him to contribute a pair of mixes for their latest release in the Tool Room Night series. Those mixes drop today and feature three brand new tracks from Dahlbeck. He's my guest on today's program, so please stick with us. This is Love Inside from Dahlbeck's 2010 release, Mutants, featuring Andy P. Releasing the latest edition of the Tool Room Nights compilation on February 6th, and that's through Tool Room Records. Tell me about your relationship with the label, a label that's so big and has so much mass appeal, but maintains its sort of independent status. That's got to teach you a few lessons for, you know, your own label, Picadol Records. I wonder in what ways that they do business and the way that they sort of pick artists and all that and feature releases. I wonder what you sort of get from that.
Okay, so first of all, Tool Room has been around for a while, and I have sort of been there, not from the beginning, but not far away, actually. I had my first release there 2006, maybe. And then I have had kind of on and off releases there throughout the years, and we started collaborating more intense last year. I did a few Miami compilations and Ibiza compilations. I don't know, we had a meeting at ADE in Amsterdam, and we started talking about the mix comp, and it sounded great. And I wanted to, because Tool Room has a wide range of music. I mean, they release a lot of stuff, and it's most quality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the best in house music. And so one of the criteria to do it was that I had to include, like, at least four Tool Room tracks or something. But I ended up with way more because they release so much good stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I wanted to, with the CD, I mean, I know I could have done one CD or I could have done two. So I choose two, and I choose to mix the first CD in a sort of deep house, tech house form, which is what I come from music-wise. And then sort of get that into CD number two and then end it where I am today. So it's sort of a John Dahlbeck journey throughout the two CDs.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The two halves of the mix, if you will, I wonder if they more or less represent a John Dahlbeck set for those who haven't gotten the privilege of seeing you live. As you mentioned, that first half has a lot of deep house and tech house and is really groove laden. And by the time you get to the second half, we start to hear more trance and harder electro, like Felix Kartal's remix of your tune with Eric Hassel, One Last Ride. Is that the way you structure your sets in the club, or is this sort of the exception to the rule? This is a little different than you normally do it.
This is absolutely different. I mean, when I play live, I just bang it out and I just put on a full energy show. But I want it, because, you know, you don't normally do CDs anymore, so I wanted it to be something special. So mm-hmm. That's why I did the journey from deep house to sort of electro house-ish, trance, whatever.
Sure.
But it's not something, I wouldn't play the first CD in a club. It's more something I would play maybe in the car or on the beach, or, you know, just hanging out at home. It's a pre-party. The CD one is like the pre-party, and the second CD is the real party.
Okay, okay. Let's back up a little bit. We'll get back to the mixes in a second. But while we're sort of on the subject of labels, a couple of months ago, I got to speak with Linus Eklöf's Style of Eye, who's a brilliant young artist with whom you've worked. I wonder, do you have any other producers you're trying to groom through Picadol or Break, or maybe you're not even working with, but you're keeping your eye on them?
Well, I mean, first of all, Picadol isn't around anymore. The label now is called Mutants.
Okay.
I mean, I always try to discover new artists, and I have a new release on the label from two guys called Lundebrus, which is two young guys from Sweden. And the difference with them is that I heard them play maybe four or five times, and they always have that kind of old school groove house mix. You know, because normally these days when you come to a club and you hear the warm-up, he's going to play like the biggest tracks out there, even though he's not really headlining the show.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are you know, just playing the funkiest stuff, and they're really, really good guys. And so I have all my faith in them.
This is the Felix Kartell remix of John Dalbach's One Last Ride featuring Eric Hassel. This is included on Dalbach's new Tool Room Nights mix, out today on Tool Room Records.
From the truck when I'm on the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up.
West Coast is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up.
West Coast is back.
California goes down to party.
What's up?
California goes down to party.
Welcome everybody to the Wild 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 West.
Yeah,
yeah. Wild 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 West.
Hold up.
Yeah, West Coast. Wild 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 West.
Bass from the truck. Bass from the truck. Bass from the truck. Bass from the truck. Bass from the truck.
We get the Instigator with his Dr. Dre Still California Moonbaton mashup, which premiered last week on theunce.com. Let's talk about your own backstory. You're still incredibly young, but you've been producing hit records for almost 10 years now, or at least, you know, major level releases. Let's talk about how you got your start. Did you grow up listening to, I don't know, your parents' records? I imagine a lot of disco. There had to be some ABBA, of course. Was that your first introduction to dance music?
No, my parents actually listen a lot to jazz and soul and like progressive rock and not so much dance music. But my cousin, on the other hand, he is one of the pioneers when it comes to Swedish techno. And so I got involved through him, listening to his stuff made me interested in that sort of genre.
Sure.
And I was sort of hobby producing hip hop at the time. And when I liked house, I started to do that instead.
I wonder, by the time you started producing dance music proper, had the Swedish house scene already taken off, or were things still underground, or had it at least not crossed over from Europe to Canada and the States?
The scene in Sweden was really difficult because there used to be a scene like 15 years ago, like sort of rave, early techno scene, you know, rave parties in the woods and, you know, all that stuff.
And the same thing was happening in the States around the same time as well.
Right, okay. But what happened in Sweden where the government built like a group called the Rave Commission, and the purpose of that group was to shut down all the raves and techno parties, even though they were in sort of legit clubs. They sort of put house and techno and trance.
They almost criminalized it.
Exactly. And I think they made it terrible because they put the genre together with kids partying, taking drugs, you know, a bunch of crimes and stuff like that. So people in Sweden had a really bad view on the music for a long time.
That's eerie because almost the exact same thing happened in the United States around the same time. Basically set up a rave commission and started shutting down these warehouse parties and these dance clubs, etc., and practically criminalizing the music themselves here.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, and when something like that happens, it's very slowly built up again. But like for 5 years ago, if you told anyone you liked house music, it had like a bad stamp on it. Like people would still see, okay, so you like going out, take drugs and, you know, dance to monotone music. That's the sort of perception people had about the genre. Mm-hmm. And so when you wanted to go out and listen to the music, you had to find, you know, small little basement clubs in smaller streets and not in the, like, the city center where all the major clubs were. But then 2 years, 3 years ago, that all changed with the house music becoming commercial.
Did you, since you came at dance music from the production side, how did you come to the realization that you would have to, in order for your tunes, your productions to be heard, that you'd have to DJ and you'd have to become a DJ yourself to get your own music out there?
Well, I had my first release out when I was 16, and I was kind of, I don't know why, but I was kind of afraid of the whole traveling bit, since I was basically living in my room at home with my parents just doing music. Mm-hmm. And so I had never traveled alone or with friends. I've always traveled with my family. And I think the thought to travel on my own, you know, hang out with people I never met before was kind of scary at first. So I waited a couple of years. Uh-huh. and then I took the step when I was 18.
Was it your cousin that helped you get your productions out there, your first productions? How did people even find out about you, this 16-year-old making tunes in his parents' room?
No, my cousin didn't really help that much, except maybe telling me what he thought of it. I was sending out crazy amount of demos to everyone. I mean, I sent out 5 CDs with like 20 tracks every week for a long time. It didn't take that long to get the first release out, but, you know, I was super productive and the releases kept coming. And in the beginning, maybe people thought I was a worst version of him, sort of. to be honest, but I think that changed after a while. So that's the that's the beginning.
Let's step away from John Dalbec for a moment. This is Low Bounce's remix of Civil Twilight's Letters from the Sky, which he released last week through theunce.com.
One of these days the sky's gonna break and everything will escape, and I'll know. One of these days the mountains are gonna fall into the sea, and they'll know. You and I were made for this. I was made to taste your kiss. We were made to never fall away.
Pratty is releasing remixes of his Anthems of the Hero record every other week on The Unce. This is Minnesota's take on Forbidden.
Yeah. fantasy, sinking deep into temptation, no resisting her taste. This poison, it feels so healing. I can't run away.
So you're 18 years old. You've had a little bit of exposure through your releases. Did you feel then pressured by people to go out there and travel? It seems like there were maybe a lot of people coming at you and saying, you got to get out there, you got to tour, and you got to DJ in all these various clubs. Or did you still have to work and really push the John Dalbach brand and really get it out there so that you could move up in the ranks?
I mean, I think because I waited a bit with the travel, I never really had that long struggling time with DJing. Of course, I played, you know, bars and places where it's been five people and three of them wanted really hear Beyonce instead of a weird monotone music. But, you know, that's a part of the building of the career, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I started to go out from Sweden, I should mention that, because I started DJing in Sweden, and that was shit, basically. So I had to travel. That's the main reason why I started to travel.
You get this sort of idea that in the scene now, it's not necessary to put out an album or put out, you know, more than a single or a remix, because here you are, you're very popular, your DJ sets are popular, you've got a couple of mixes out there, and you've got original tracks that are doing well. I wonder, being somebody who's very involved in the label scene, what do you feel is the responsibility then of a record company in this day and age, where it is a lot of singles and remixes just being put out there for free or thrown up on the internet? I wonder what you feel the responsibility of a record label is in 2012 in the US or Europe or Asia or Australia or wherever.
I mean, I think every producer, I mean, maybe not should, but I think they should feel some kind of goal with their career to have a statement album out for the fans. I mean, maybe not to win new fans over, because that's what they're doing with singles. But I mean, I love myself to be in an album mind, just focusing on, you know, structure, a red line throughout, and, you know, listening mixed with club tracks. I mean, it's a very healthy way of producing music, I think. And it really doesn't matter if it comes out as an album or if it comes out as 20 singles, but still you have that joy of doing it.
Sure, and, sure.
I mean, putting out an album, I don't think my label necessarily would do it, because we're such a small independent one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still necessary for the music scene to release albums for those who are more interested than others.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell me then about the decision to release three tracks of your own through this Tool Room Nights mix: Feel It, Heroes, Escape. Why was it that you felt like these tracks should be released through a mix? And then did that make you think extra carefully about how they were placed within the mix?
So the funny thing about these tracks are that they weren't, maybe one of them actually, the track Escape was created with the purpose to be a single. The other ones were kind of, when I did the mix, I I needed those tracks for the mix, and I couldn't find tracks like that from anyone by the time, so I had to make them myself. So that's why I included them. But no, they weren't made in the purpose of getting like a huge single out there, but they were made to fit in the mix.
Okay. So what are the tunes that really stand out for you on these mixes? Either the club anthems that you know are going to go off, or the lesser known producers who you kind of wanted to show off a little bit?
I mean, there are a lot of tracks, especially when I picked out the Deep House and Tech House CD. I just kind of fell in love with house music all over again when I did it, because it kind of took me back 10 years when I was 18, standing in a club and listening to the music for the first time. And it was really nice not hearing just the major hits at a club, which is like that today. I mean, everywhere you go in a bigger club, you'll hear hits from the minute they open until they close.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was nice to hear, you know, the real sort of, it's not a history in house, but it's sort of, that's when I fell in love with house.
Okay.
But there are a few standout tracks. I think one, the most exciting tracks for me is my new track, Life, which is getting released in the same sort of time as the compilation. And this is a track I've been waiting to get out for so long, and now it's finally out. And Pete Tong played it last Friday, he's gonna play it again this Friday, and sort of, yeah, it's a good compilation because it varies so much in style, and I'm really happy about it.
Absolutely. So after this release comes out about 10 days later, so you're doing a half a dozen North American dates from Canada down to New England, and then you head out to California. I'm always curious, do you have to adapt your sets to American audiences? I know you're always touring around the world, but do you have to adjust your sound in any way when you're in the States?
Not anymore. I because the scene in the U.S. have changed so much. I started going out there 3 or 4 years ago, and by that time, I really had to change style because people weren't really ready for the hardcore sort of house music. Because U.S. at that time was either like really commercial sort of hip-hop, R&B-ish, or like more soft vocal house music. So at first I had to adapt a little bit, but not too much, because I still wanted to show people what I normally do. But nowadays it's really changed. Everyone is super educated. And what I love about U.S. people is that they still have that spark left. You know, they just want to go out and have a good time and, you know, dance and just party. I feel maybe Europe has changed a bit during the years to the worst, but there's still great crowds, of course, in Europe. But I feel that U.S. is slightly taking over.
Well, that is a pleasure to hear. And I hope all those fans who are planning to catch you on your North American dates hear that, too. John Dalbach, we're looking forward to this this release coming out on Tool Room Records. Thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. A special thanks go to Justin Kleinfeld with Reflector Inc. and of course my guest, John Dalbach. His pair of Tool Room Nights mixes came out today on Tool Room Records, and he's headed out on tour in about 10 days. He'll be hitting New York City with Dirty South, then he's off to Miami the next night and has a bunch more stops. Make sure to check out his complete tour dates at theunce.com. Remember to catch Wicket as he heads west this week and next with dates in California and Nevada, presented by theunce.com. Details at wickettheinstigator.com. We have so many tickets to give away this week. Tons of boombox tickets, passes to Aura Music Festival in Florida, Bass Kitchen in Chicago with Rezo and Evil Intent, and two pairs of VIP passes to Buku Music and Art Project in New Orleans. Get those at theunce.com/contests. All you got to do is sign up. Please visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. Go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.
write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunz.com. Join the conversation at the UNS podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.